So again, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks for being with us. And today is our final day in our series with the book of Daniel. So this is it. So next week again is our Senior Saints and Grandparents Day. And then we'll start a new series after that. And I'll tell you more about that next week. But before we continue with the book of Daniel, here's a quick review. If you were with us last week, you might remember that this was our theme last week, and that is this: when you are troubled, God is with you. When you are troubled, God is with you. The first half of Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has another dream, another vision. And at the end of this dream or vision, it said that he was troubled in his spirit. It affected him in a deep way. And as we looked at the Hebrew word for troubled, you might remember I mentioned it means to dig up. So it was as if his spirit inside of him was all dug up and overturned because of this vision, because of this dream that he saw. So he was deeply, deeply troubled. So the question was, what will help Daniel in this moment when his spirit within him is troubled? When it's like everything is turned upside down in the deepest part of who he is. What about more information about the dream? What about having his questions answered? Will that do it? Will that calm his troubled spirit? Well, in the second half of Daniel chapter 7, you might remember that's exactly what he received. His questions were answered. He received more information about the dream and vision that troubled him so deeply. So did that take care of it? No. We read at the end of the chapter, he's just as troubled in his spirit as he was right after the dream. Nothing changed. So it just is a reminder for us that when we have a troubled heart or a troubled spirit, what can help us in that moment when we feel like things are stirred up and dug up within us? And I politely suggested that what is true for Daniel is often true for us. More information alone does not help a troubled spirit. More answers alone will not help a troubled spirit. We will always have things we don't understand. There will always be questions that remain unanswered. So if it's not that, what is it? What can help us when our spirits and hearts are troubled? Well, it's exactly what Jesus told his disciples when their hearts were troubled. You remember, Jesus did not say, don't let your hearts be troubled, just ask more questions. He didn't say that. He didn't say, don't let your hearts be troubled, just listen to more information. He didn't say that. We know what he said. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. That was true for the disciples, it was true for Daniel, and it's true for us in those moments as well. So, last week, when you are troubled, God is with you. Trust him. Trust him. You still won't have all the answers. You still won't have all the information that you might like, but God's presence is there, so trust him when we are troubled. That was last week. Moving on to this week here, last one, as I mentioned, with the book of Daniel. Well, you know this to be true. There are times in life when we get tired. I mean, really, really tired. Even small children can get really tired. Take a look. Here we go.
Hello. Oh. One more bite.
Ha 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 ha! That's me at Old Country Buffet. That's it. With my biscuit in hand. There we go. You just need to see cute kids sometimes, right? You need to do that. Well, why are we talking about being tired? Please, I hope I don't make you yawn this morning. Sorry, you're going to hear the word tired a lot. So here we go. Here's the reason why. Because in Daniel chapter 8, Daniel was tired. I mean, really, really tired at the end of Daniel chapter 8. It's the only time in the book of Daniel where it mentions him being this way. So three questions for us to briefly look at this morning. The first one, how tired was Daniel in chapter 8? It almost sounds like one of those Johnny Carson moments. How tired are you? You know, well, we'll look because there's a particular word that's used to just show you how tired he really was. Secondly, what happened to Daniel when he was tired? It affected him in some way. So what happened to him? And then third and most importantly is this. What can happen to us when we are tired? If we're not careful, what can happen to us? Physically, socially, emotionally, what can happen to us when we are tired? So that's where we're going this morning. I hope it is informative and peaceful. I feel like we should pass out pillows or something. But let's pray before we look at God's word together. So Father, thank you for the book of Daniel. I know, Lord, that we're not going through all of it, but thank you for this privilege today of looking at Daniel chapter 8. Would you give us fresh insight into what Daniel was experiencing? And then, Lord, would you open our eyes to see what it means in our own lives? So we love you. We thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, here's a quick look at chapter 8. Daniel had a vision of a ram and a goat in the beginning of Daniel chapter 8. So verses 1 through 14 is the vision. It's yet another vision that Daniel received. And then he received the interpretation of his vision in the second half of Daniel, verses 15 to 27. That's the part that we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at the interpretation of the vision and see how he felt after receiving that. So would you please turn, if you would, to Daniel chapter 8, starting at verse 15, and we'll read through the end of the chapter, which goes through verse 27. So again, this is the interpretation of the dream that he just received about a ram and about a goat. I, Jeff, am in the wrong place. Okay, here we go. While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. And I heard a man's voice from Ulai calling, "Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision." As he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and I fell prostrate. "Son of man," he said to me, "understand that the vision concerns the time of the end." While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Then he touched me and I raised to my feet. He said, "I am going to tell you what will happen later in the time of wrath, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end. The two-horned ram that you saw represents the kings of Media and Persia. The shaggy goat is the king of Greece, and the large horn between his eyes is the first king. The four horns that were replaced, the one that was broken off, represent four kingdoms that will emerge from his nation, but will not have the same power. In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand among the prince of princes. Yet he will be destroyed, not by human power. The vision of the evenings and mornings that has been given you is true, but seal up the vision, for it concerns the distant future. I, Daniel, was exhausted, and I lay ill for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding. Daniel has led an interesting life, hasn't he? I mean, honestly, the things he has seen, the things he has experienced, we probably never will. And in Daniel chapter 8, again, he has another of these dreams. And after the interpretation of it, the question is this: how tired was he at the end of Daniel chapter 8? Why even mention it? I'm sure there were plenty of other times before this moment that Daniel was tired, but it's not recorded. So what's so special about this moment? Why was he so tired? What's going on? Well, the word that the NIV uses in most of their texts is this. It says that he was exhausted. He was exhausted. This is just beyond sleepy, right? He is exhausted. Some versions use the word faint. Instead, he was so tired, so exhausted, it's as if he was about to faint. It was that idea. Faint of falling over and just not being able to continue as he was. He was that tired. He was exhausted, it says. There's something to this. There's a reason that it's recorded in Scripture. He was exhausted, verse 27. The next question is this: what happened to Daniel when he was tired? If he was this exhausted, if he was almost like he was going to faint, according to some translations, well, what happened to him? Well, as you read, it's just a few words, but it's true though. It affected him physically. He was so tired, so exhausted, that it affected his body. It affected him physically. Daniel was so exhausted that he was sick and in bed for days. He was sick and in bed for days. Ever hear the saying, sick and tired? I am sick and tired. That's exactly what he was. You could reverse it, I guess, tired and sick. But it affected him so profoundly, this servant of the king, this wise man, actually for several days was in his bed and he was ill and he couldn't do anything because he was exhausted, because he was tired. He was in no condition to give counsel to the king. He was in no condition to make large decisions. He was in no condition to do anything. So it affected him. When he was tired, he was ill, he was in bed for days. And then verse 27 continues. It doesn't stop there. It continues. And the way it continues reminds us of this truth that we'll unpack in just a little bit. And that is, when you are exhausted, God is with you. When you are really, really tired, when you feel like you're going to faint, when you're so tired it affects you physically, you actually become ill, God is with you. How do we know it's true for Daniel? Well, we look at the rest of verse 27, and after his time of total exhaustion, after his time of being ill for several days, he gets up and he continues to serve the king. In other words, it's not permanent, it's temporary. So he continued his work. God was with him. Even though Daniel was still appalled by the vision, he continued his work. Even though Daniel was still troubled in his spirit, he continued his work. He kept the vision secret. He never told anyone this, or the one in chapter 7. But he got up and he continued. He continued his service of the king, his service of the Lord, knowing that God was with him, knowing that God would be faithful to him every step of the way. Even when he was exhausted, Daniel, this great man of faith, knew that God was with him, and God allowed Daniel to continue his service to the kingdom of the king and to the kingdom of God. That's the main idea this morning. When you are exhausted, God is with you. When you are so tired that it affects you physically, you actually become ill, feel like you're going to faint, God is with you. He can strengthen you, just as he did for Daniel. That brings us to our third question, which, for the sake of our own lives, is the most important, I believe, and that is, what can happen to us when we are tired? What can happen to us when we are really, really tired? Tired, when we are exhausted, what can happen to us? You know, we're different when we're really tired, right? We're not quite the same. Some of you are looking at your spouse right now. I saw that head tilt. Well, this gentleman is going to help us answer this question, okay? His name is Bishop T.D. Jakes. Maybe you've heard of him or you've read some of his books. He is a very well-known pastor, author, and filmmaker, actually. His church is called the Potter's House. And I want to look right at Seth when I say this. It is in Dallas, Texas. Yes. All good things, Seth, come from Dallas. But his church has a weekly attendance, see how I keep going, of about 17,000 or so. And he's heard all over the world. And he had a sermon actually about a year ago. And the title of his sermon is this, Are You Exhausted? It wasn't based on Daniel. It was based on another book of scripture. But that was his sermon title, Are You Exhausted? So we're going to let Bishop T.D. Jakes help to answer this question for us. What happens to us when we are really, really, really tired? There's no way I can put it the way he does. You'll hear what I mean. I just can't do it the way he does. And just to let you know, he's going to start by talking about this movie. It's called The Life of Pi. If you've ever seen this movie, the first few minutes, he's going to reference this. So in case you've never seen this, here's a quick one-sentence description. It's an allegory or an allegorical story of survival against all of the odds after a shipwreck. So this young man, you see the ship going down, is surviving against all odds after this shipwreck. So let's listen to a little bit of the message, not the whole thing, of course, but we'll listen to a few minutes of Bishop T.D. Jakes talking about what happens to us when we are tired. I mean, really, really tired. What happens when we're exhausted? Here we go.
So the brother in the Life of Pi, he says, I survived the storm. I survived the pestilence. I survived almost starving to death. I survived the tiger. I survived almost losing my mind. He said, and when I finally got there, he said, I held on to the boat. I was afraid that I would get that close to deliverance and die in shallow water. What is the thing that makes us fearful in safe places? Fearful in safe places. Why is he clutching onto the boat in 2 feet of water? What do you do when your senses are lying to you? When you live in a realm of thinking that you're going to crash, but you're not? Thinking that you can't make it, but you can? Thinking that you're in danger, but you're safe? I'm talking about exhausted emotions. Don't be moved by exhausted emotions. See, I learned that when you get tired, you can't trust how you feel. I'm preaching right to somebody. I don't know who it is. When your emotions are exhausted, they will send you false signals. They'll make you think you're in danger when you're not. They'll make you think you can't trust who you can. They'll make you think people hate you who love you. They'll make you lash out at people who are really trying to help you because you have exhausted emotions. When you get tired, your perception of the situation is altered. When you get tired, you'll be scared when you're safe. When you get tired, you'll be holding on to what's familiar and missing the fact that you can hold on to the promise before you. When you get tired, you make dumb decisions because you have exhausted emotions. A psychiatrist friend of mine described it this way. He said, when you are anxious or exhausted, it's like flying a plane, but you can't trust the dials. In other words, you'll feel like you're going to crash even when you're safe. Don't be moved by exhausted emotions. Exhausted emotions make you paranoid. Exhausted emotions make you fearful. Exhausted emotions take the pleasure out of surviving away. You know, I imagine when Paul was on the ship and the ship started coming apart and they were out there in the water, he would have thought, oh, if I can get to the shore, I'm going to dance. When I get to the shore, I'm going to shout the victory. If I make it out of this, I'm going to give God the praise. If I finally finish this, I'm going to dance all over this place. If we ever get this house paid for, we're going to shout the victory. If we ever get these kids raised, we're just going to dance and shout. If I ever get this bill paid off, I'm going to shout the victory. If you ever get over this cancer, we're going to go out and celebrate. If we survive this leukemia, we're going to run up and down the aisle. But do you not know that statistics say that most marriages who have gone through catastrophic incidents fall apart after they survived it? Because they're tired. It's called compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue. I gave out. I wore out. We made it, but I was exhausted. Wore my party out of me. Wore the smile off my face. Wore the step out of my walk. What does that mean? I could succeed. I could survive and not feel successful. What happens when you get there and it doesn't feel like what you thought there would feel like? If you'd have told the little girl in you that you would end up at the place in life that you'd ended up now, living in the house you're living in, accomplished as much as you'd accomplished, she'd have thought, oh, if I get that far, oh, that's going to be wonderful. So why aren't you happy? Couldn't imagine owning your own car and you got one. Why aren't you happy? Couldn't imagine getting your own house. Can't imagine it. You got one. Why aren't you happy? You couldn't imagine having a husband or a wife. You got one. Why aren't you happy? You prayed to have a child. Cried because you couldn't have one. Then got one. Why aren't you happy? Oh, no shouting now. Oh, it got kind of quiet now. Why doesn't Paul dance? He could have died in the storm. He could have gone down with the ship. He could have drowned in the water. He makes it to Melita and collapses on the shore. What do you do when survival does not feel successful? When the mission completed does not make you want to celebrate? Is it that you underestimated how much it would cost you to get where you are? Is it that you have denied yourself the right to have survived and still be exhausted? There is nothing wrong with being tired. He says, I was afraid to let go of the boat for fear that I would drown in 2 feet of water. You have survived being in 1,000 feet of water. You swam through 500 feet of water. You made it through water that if you hadn't have been tough, you would have drowned in long time ago. You made it through times that tried everything in you that could be tried, and you made it safely to the other side. And now at a moment of celebration, you are standing here still fearful, afraid you're going to die in 2 feet of water. Don't you know you can't trust how you feel? When you're tired, your feelings are off. Your emotions are crazy. You get angry about stuff that's not important. You snap at people who are trying to be nice to you. When you are tired, you cannot live up under your own counsel. If you listen at your own counsel, you will give up in 2 feet of water. And the Lord told me to warn you, keep on flying, but don't read the dial. Keep on stroking, even when you feel like I'm scared to death. You may be scared to death, but you're closer now than you've ever been in your life. I said you're closer now than you've ever been in your life.
Yeah, there's no way I could have put it as well as he did. One of his main points, and I know he kind of went here and there a little bit, but one of his main points was this. He said, when you are tired, you can't trust how you feel. When you're exhausted, when you are really, really tired, you can't trust how you feel. I used to tell this to my teenagers all the time at Mons Hill. There were times they would come to me and they would just, with tears in their eyes, say all these things. I feel this, I feel that. Well, you can't always trust how you feel when you are tired and exhausted. Again, it's like trying to fly a plane, but all the gauges are off. Let me tell you what I mean. For example, when we are tired, I mean really, really tired, when we are exhausted, we might feel like nobody cares. We know that's not true. We might feel like there is no hope. We might feel like nobody understands us. We might feel like things will never get better. We might feel that nobody loves us. We might feel like we just cannot go on. When we are really, really tired, when we are exhausted emotionally, we might even feel that God has failed us, or that God hasn't noticed us, or that God doesn't care about us, or that God has somehow forgotten us. Or there might even be times when we are really, really tired, when we are exhausted emotionally, physically, socially, we can't trust how we feel. There are even times when we might feel that like God has left us. That God has left us. Why has this happened? And friends, we know at that moment when those feelings speak things to us, the feelings may be strong, but it doesn't mean they're true. The feelings may be strong, but it doesn't mean they're true. What is true is this. It's when you are exhausted, God is with you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't failed you. He's not unconcerned. He hasn't somehow looked past your situation. God is right there. So that's the main idea today. When you are exhausted, when your feelings are lying to you, when everything is confusing, hang on to the truth that God is with you, that in Him you will find what is true. In Him you will know that there is someone who is present and who understands and who loves you and who can bring hope and can bring help in any situation. When you are exhausted, God is with you. When you are exhausted, God is with you. That is the main idea for this morning. And as I mentioned, this concludes our series on the book of Daniel. And I hope that it's been encouraging for you. I hope so, because you've probably noticed the pattern like the second Sunday already, because we talked about all these times, all these situations in life, and it's just a reminder that God is with us through all of it. And I hope that it's been an encouragement, because Daniel went through all the ups and downs and twists and turns and confusing times as we do. His situations might be different, but the reactions are the same. And he is the first one to tell you that God was faithful to him through it all. God never left him. God never left him down. And the same is true for us. So I just hope you remember that when things change, God is with you. Everything changed for a 17-year-old Daniel when he went from Jerusalem to Babylon. Everything changed, and God was with him. When you need help, God is with you. There were times when Daniel faced certain death unless God intervened. Time and time again, when you need help, God is with you. There were times when Daniel was asked to do the impossible. Tell the king what his dream was first, and then interpret it. He will fail miserably unless God helped him. So it's a reminder, when you need help, God is with you. When you are afraid, God is with you. Daniel faced persecution and execution numerous times in his life. I would imagine, like any of us, there would be moments that fear would creep into his heart. Even during those times, it's a reminder that God is with you. When you must speak difficult truth, God is with you. There were times Daniel had to look the king straight in the face and say, this is the interpretation of the dream that you're so worried about. You are going to go mad and crazy. You're going to be run out of your kingdom until you come to your senses and you repent that there's only one God. And then you'll come back on the throne. Not an easy thing to say. It's a reminder that when you speak difficult truth, God is with you. When you are forgotten, God is with you. A new king, the king saw the handwriting on the wall, literally, and didn't remember Daniel at all. It was only his wife who said, you know, there was this Hebrew that your grandfather used. Why don't you go get him? So Daniel, the once powerful ruler of all the satraps of Babylon, was completely forgotten at a time. When you are lonely, God is with you. There were times when Daniel was all alone. He was the only one being faithful. He was the only one not praying to the idol. He was the only one up in his room all alone facing Jerusalem praying. No friends, no king, no comfort. He's all by himself, but he knows that God is with him. When you are thankful, God is with you, right? Celebrate, not even a scratch on Daniel after being in the lion's den. Celebrating the goodness and the salvation that God gave him. When you are thankful and celebrating, God is right there with you, receiving that thanks, celebrating with you. When you are troubled, God is with you. When you are dug up in your spirit, when answers don't help, when information doesn't help, you can trust God because he's with you. And then this morning, of course, when you are exhausted, I mean really, really tired, when your emotions are playing games with you, when you are feeling things that are strong but you know they're not true, God is with you. And just as he helped pick Daniel up to continue serving and living and moving forward, he does that with us.